Again, it is a Thanksgiving episode, and Melanie is going to imitate a turkey for us now.
Go ahead, Melanie.
I feel so unprepared. I didn't know that was coming. I would have practiced.
Anybody got a call?
Just give it your best shot. We'll take whatever you've got.
What you got?
Well, we did say your best shot, so there we go.
That's good. Yeah. Ken, you got one?
Wow, if I had known y'all were going to show off, I would have just let you take it.
No. We wanted to give you first right of refusal.
So you want to hear a story since we're talking about turkeys?
Let's do it.
So,
well,
are we talking about turkeys?
We're talking, well, I guess. I mean, are we talking about someone at the table? Or turkey?
No, turkey.
Gobble, turkeys? Okay, good.
So when I lived in New Zealand for a year, I went to a summer camp and they did this thing called a turkey hunt. And the way it worked was that they would pick three or four staff members to go hide, and then they would set the kids loose, and you had to yell gobble, gobble, gobble every 2 minutes. So you'd have to yell gobble, and they had to kind of try to come and find you. And so, you know, you can move around, and so you yell gobble, gobble, and then you try to move, you know, it was basically hide and seek. Very fun. At least I think that was fun. So, you know, being the mountain boy from North Carolina, I was like, they will never catch me. I will be. So things went, and it went for a while, and they weren't catching me, and I was moving around. I was feeling pretty good about myself, but it did get to the point where they needed to be able to catch me. So I yelled gobble, 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 and I burst out of the woods into this open field. And they all see me, and it's like that scene in, I don't know, is it Platoon, where the guy is running from the enemy, right?
Yeah.
And they're all chasing him and whatever. So it's kind of like that scene, right? And I'm running, and I'm starting to feel tired, but I know I've got some more in me. And the next thing I know, I'm on my knees on the ground because I felt this whack in the back of the head. And this camper had taken his mag light and launched it.
Oh, what?
Wow. That actually explains so much.
Now you understand.
I was just going to say,
wow.
The Willem Dafoe moment from Platoon. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, they did catch me, and I was a little, fortunately, aside from a little minor brain damage,
and now
it was all enclosed. There was no.
Your hat looks really good in the back of your head now from that permanent
little divot back there. So
permanent divot. Oh,
thanks, kid in New Zealand. I'm sure you're probably 30 or 40 years old at this point.
Yeah. Oh my. Well, speaking.
There you go. That's happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And speaking of good times and things that make us laugh. So we had one text message this week, and it said, loved hearing the back and forth from Pastor Ken and his wife. The laughter while disagreeing is something that I pray we see more in our church, community, and country. Side note, with a smiley, laughing face, I can hear Pastor Ken screaming like a grumpy old man, get off my lawn! Also.
Yes. Are you saying you have heard that, or you could hear that, because both are possible?
Well, it said can hear, so I don't know how, but I don't think they're neighbors, because it said also waiting on Pastor Melanie's podcast, and signed the succulent lady in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
So they're not neighbors.
Okay. Oh, probably not.
The over the fence kind of thing, but if you kind of afford the fence, maybe, I don't know.
It is a weird thing to get older and see kids playing on your lawn and start feeling like, hey, don't do that. That's, you don't know how much time and effort I've put into.
Wait a minute. Time and effort. I feel
Melanie,
like.
Melanie.
What?
Just go with me.
You mow your front yard with a weed whacker, don't you?
Why not? I mean, sure.
It's not that big.
I could, I guess, but I have a nice electric mower.
Shouldn't.
I like that.
It's not even unless you're really careful with the weed whacker.
And then I have the do-it-yourself thing that I go buy the fertilizer and spread it myself.
Do you really?
I do.
Melanie pays him to fly over because she's got such a
just
long
drops
spread.
It. That explains a lot too about her house.
It's just weed killer. They just pull the whole. They just fly over and drop it on.
Well,
her.
It is
Agent,
obviously
Agent
not
Orange or something.
Not weed killer. If you've seen my lawn. I'm a big fan of clover.
She does have a huge lawn, though.
She does. Yes,
she
does.
Big yard.
So, you know, like if you're like thinking, hey, I could really do something nice for someone this holiday season, go over to Melanie's house. She could probably use you
Yeah.
Do Molson grass?
Bring a hammer. Bring nails,
drywall.
Bring drywall.
Drywall. Tile.
Bring
maybe?
Tile.
Ah. Kitchen cabinets. You
if
know how to install.
Anybody has an extra kitchen sink.
Although, if you had, I'm not allowed. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to bring this up, but I am going to anyway. And you can cut it out if Melanie decides it needs to be cut out. But one of the more disturbing things, Melanie's been doing a lot of renovations in her house and really beautiful renovations. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And she finished her bathroom. How long ago?
Oh, you're telling on me. Probably a month ago.
Yeah. Have you used it yet?
No.
Is it usable?
Yes.
What? Wait, if you use it, you got to clean it.
It's so perfectly clean and pristine. Like, I just feel like it needs to stay just like virgin territory for a little while longer.
How long is a little while longer? Because to me, a month would be pretty well a little while longer. You literally trek from one end of the house to the other to use the other bathroom.
I do. Yeah. I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Hey, have you moved into the
this
other
is,
bathroom, though?
This is turning into quite
no,
the
I'm,
episode.
I moved in.
To the bathroom
I
area?
I just like? Also take things down the hallway.
No way. Stop it.
Wow.
So you actually have your shampoo and all that good stuff in that bathroom.
Well, not my shampoo. I have
other stuff.
Yeah, other stuff.
And you like to have a little carrier and you just,
I just
trek down the hall.
And down the hall. Yeah.
I was like, well, it's one thing.
So if you want to help her renovate her house so she can move out because she won't want to actually live in it.
I'm just going to live in the yard.
It's like a little
shower by garden hose.
Little campfire in the back there. Because that's the kitchen right now that needs countertops, right?
Yes.
But that's what the pool's
most
for.
Right?
You take your bath in the pool.
Do you actually think you'll use your counters if once they go in? Because I think people might be a little reticent to come help you if there's no point.
You know, it's funny because I put out some just nice pieces of wood just to sort of cover the cabinets so I could have something. And even those, like yesterday, I spilled something on them and I thought, oh no, I don't want to spill something on this nice piece of wood that's actually just temporary until the actual cabinet.
Well, let's be honest, wood costs about $1,000 a foot. So
I might just move out.
Yeah.
I was worried.
There you go.
I wasn't as worried until it seems like you're like camping. Like in the bathroom, I got my bag that's in the closet that has my towels and my flip flops and my shampoo. And then I've got the other part with my shampoo, my toothpaste and all the other necessities.
Yeah.
And then I grab that and I head to down the hall to the bathroom.
Yes, that's
shower
the way it works.
Too.
Huh.
Yes.
Well.
Okay.
Especially. Well, I mean, especially the shower.
This is a judge.
And your new shower is super nice,
it's
right?
Beautiful.
You gave us a tour of the place when we had a bunch of staff over there, and
the tile is so pretty and so clean.
The grout will never look this good again, right?
No, and I.
So is Tim allowed to use it?
No.
Oh wow!
He comes home to use the.
There's your own suffering, and then there's the suffering you impose
you
on other people.
On others, yes.
Oh. Wow.
He is long suffering soul.
Wow.
Well, I like it when I know people are sharing in my misery, and we actually, since Melanie got rid of her cabinets from the kitchen, we bought a bunch of them to put in our currently being renovated laundry room because what they had fit perfectly.
Nice.
And so right now, if you come to our house and my aunt she probably been to our house in a couple months and they're renovating a house in Wisconsin and they have a house here in Orlando. And she walked in and she's like, oh, she's like, I love this. I feel so good about myself right now. And we're like, what? This place is a dump. She's like, I know.
Wow.
And she's just like, but,
I know.
But she's like, this is what my other house is like. And so when I'm here in Orlando, everything is pristine and it's clean. And I don't even want to I don't want to mess it up. And then she walked into our house and was like, because our dining room is full of everything that is supposed. Dining room and living room is half full. Dining room completely full, can't sit at the table because the entire dining room is packed with all the things that should be in the laundry room. Mm-hmm. So I get that a little bit. Mercy. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Because hopefully you're listening to this on Wednesday. Maybe you're traveling like some of us will be doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you're going to be in the car and you're going to be listening and it's going to be like, oh, man.
It's going to be a short episode. So
yeah,
you're like, hey, we can listen on our 3-hour trip. We can listen to this at regular speed and then we're going to be done in 20 minutes. So
maybe
slow it down.
We hit it down to half the speed. People are going to be like trying to adjust it. And it's like, no, it doesn't work. So this was, and I'm sad to say, honestly, that I have really been getting into the Elisha story.
Yes.
And I know Ken.
Love Elisha.
I can just see his eyes across the desk here that he's sad. He was sad. I actually thought you might have
I wanted to make it a 10-part series, but.
Really, it should have been a 10-part series because there's so much that you could have unpacked in there. There's a whole lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we could actually probably do a full quarter of just without repeating anything.
Yeah.
Just on Elisha.
At least. Yeah.
I guess we did
cover
that.
There's at least 16 individual miracles that you could have talked about. So right there, you've got 16 weeks, right, just with that. And
we kind of covered that earlier that there's a lot.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Versus what we thought.
Yeah.
Sorry. There's this half of the table that knows, and then there's this half of the table that's like, what? I feel like Elijah. No, much more than Elisha. It's wild.
Yeah.
So as we wrap it up, what is the thing that through the 4 weeks, is there a pervasive theme that kind of, other than, I mean, the double portion, obviously, was the name of the series. But when you wrap up, the one thing you hope that, okay, there was more, but here's what we hope you know about Elisha. And maybe is there a challenge to go find more since there's so much on Elisha?
I just think that Elisha is the by faith prophet. He lived by faith. And last week there was a lot of joking with Rochelle and I, but I definitely don't think I'm like Elisha. I think he's who I really aspire to be. He's just steady. He's just steady. Like, he doesn't seem to get flustered. He doesn't seem to get bothered. He just is steady, and he lives by faith, and he accomplishes so much. And I think it's also a little bit of a tribute to the people out there listening who feel undervalued, whether that's in your relationships with people that you love, or whether it's at work and you feel like people don't see you or really recognize you for how amazing you are. And Elisha, to me, is that guy. He's the guy that is underrated, underappreciated. Everybody talks about Elijah this, Elijah that. And yet here's a guy who is every bit as amazing as Elijah is. And just does some phenomenal things. In fact, you know, when you look at his life and compare it to, with Jesus, there's so many things that kind of overlap. He's feeding people. He's bringing people back to life from the dead. And it's just a beautiful story. I just like it from beginning to end. I just like Elisha a lot. There's only a few characters in the Bible that the Bible doesn't really record any major mistakes that they made. Daniel's one. I think Elisha is really one. I just really appreciate that. And so the thing that I get about Elisha is he was just completely committed. I mean, at the very beginning, he immediately slaughters his oxen. So clearly he's not going back. He becomes a servant to Elijah until Elijah's caught up into heaven. All he asks from Elijah is for a double portion of his spirit, which wasn't a give me more money, give me this, give me better stuff. It's simply let me carry the burden of ministry. And believe me, there is a burden to ministry. And he says, I want that. I want to carry that. And he does. He carries it with grace. He carries it with integrity. He tells the truth, but he's also kind. There's just a empathy about him that he comes across a woman who's not able to have a child, and she doesn't ask him to do anything for you. He says, "What do you want me to do? What can I do for you?" She doesn't really think much about it, but he says, "Hey, here's what I want. Here's what I want God to do for you. I want to provide a son for you." And anyway, it's just a beautiful story. Like I said, where he sees the chariots of fire that don't come to take him to heaven, but are there to protect him while he's here on earth. And even after he passes away, his bones bring life. And I think for me, that would be like the ultimate, you know, I think what I want is that after I die or leave this earth, whether it's in a chariot of fire, or whether it's, you know, I pass away, or whether Christ comes back, I really would, if Christ doesn't come back, let me put it that way. If Christ doesn't come back, I really want to impact not just my kids, but my grandkids and my great grandkids. And I would like to think the impact that I have on them would lead to impact on other people as well. And that's just what you see in Elisha's life, that long after he's gone, he makes an impact in this world because of who he was and because of what he accomplished. And so for me, that's the big takeaway. And as we closed out this week, and we talked about this, in 2 Kings, it says that he's in his last illness. And it says, the king of Israel came and visited him and wept and said, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel. You know, he's clearly about to die. The king of Israel kind of knows it, shows up. He's like, hey, what are we going to do without you? Because you've kind of been what's been saving our country up to this point. You know, I remember blinding all those people and bringing them into the capital. What happens now? And Elisha symbolically puts his hands on that man, on that king's hands, and says, hey, open the windows, shoot an arrow out. And he's shooting in the direction of where his enemy would come from. It's a declaration of war. And he does it. The king shoots the arrow, and Elisha says, that's the arrow of God's victory. Done. You're going to be completely victorious. It's a done deal. And then Elisha says, and now just go ahead and grab those arrows and strike them against the ground. And I mentioned it briefly in the sermon, but scholars disagree on what that means, whether it was pick up the arrows and actually physically hit them on the ground, or whether it was pick up the arrows and shoot them with your bow and arrow. The word that uses strike the ground is not the same words that are used when it says to fire your arrow out of the window. And so that's why the many scholars say, look, he was being told just to hit them on the ground. It wasn't to fire them. I'm in the camp that I really do think that Elisha wanted him to shoot the arrows out the window, more arrows out the window, because it would have taken some effort. And he would have like, how many arrows do I really need to shoot for no real good reason out the window? And so the king strikes the ground three times with the arrow, whether it's he takes the arrows and just hits the ground or whether he actually fires them out the window. He strikes the ground three times. And Elisha is very upset with him, says, look, and I'm going to paraphrase what Elisha is saying. He says, you are really half-hearted about serving God. You are just not in. You thought you had, when I told you that you would be completely victorious over your enemies, you thought that meant that you didn't have to do anything, that you could just kind of lay back, be half-hearted in your relationship with God, and that God would just, you know, take care of this problem for you without you having any investment in it. And he said, now because you're so half-hearted, you fired three arrows, you get three victories, but you could have had more. You should have hit the ground six or eight times, but you've got no enthusiasm, buddy. And that's going to be your downfall, that you're not enthusiastic. And that's the part that I hope that the church leaves this series with, is be enthusiastic about serving God. You've already got the victory. And a lot can be said about somebody of what they do when they think that everything's taken care of. If you know you already have received the gift, are you still nice? If you've already won the victory, do you go work out anymore? Because, well, why bother? I know I've already won, so why bother? And I think that that's an issue in Christianity, is that we leave so much on the table because we don't pick it up. God set the table, but we're like, oh, I'm not going to pick up the fork and try to, it's on the table, but we don't want to pick it up. And I do think that's something we have to think about as Christians is, and I'm not a fan of God helps them that help themselves, because I think it puts a lot more emphasis on you than on God. And I also do believe that we get to partner with God, that God wins the victory for us, and we have the opportunity to open the gift wrap and open the gift. And this king, he didn't even want to do that. He didn't want to open. He's just half-hearted. He was just there to get his blessing, go home. At least that's the way I read it. Whereas when Elisha has that same experience with Elijah, what does he ask for? He says, I want to inherit your spirit so I can continue doing God's work. And he immediately gets to work. He parts the Jordan River. He immediately starts doing things for God's cause. He does not sit around. He immediately gets busy. And that's what I think all of us, myself especially, is I know I am saved. I don't have to, I'm not afraid because God has promised me the gift of salvation. And that is not a reason to sit around and do nothing and be like, well, there we go. It's a reason to do more because I know what I've been gifted and I want other people to experience that freedom and that gift.
Mm, that's awesome. It also sounds like that's a little bit of just being, having gratitude.
Yes.
Which totally goes in with the Thanksgiving holiday and just reflecting that we do, whether that's around a table with family or just personally or both, the realizing what you have and maybe to the extent that the gift is, how big it is, but it could be bigger.
Yep.
If we just use more. Lucas, did we have any questions?
Yes. So the one that we have here is from Tammy. It seems there must have been an understood custom about smacking the ground with arrows, or was it maybe just Elisha's insight into the king's character?
I think it was Elisha's insight into the king's character. And like I said, I really, really lean heavily that what he was telling that king was to actually take the remaining. So, if you have a quiver of arrows, he says, all right, shoot the one. He shoots the one. He says, now take the arrows and strike the ground again with the arrows. And to me, it really makes sense that he was saying, shoot some more arrows out that window. And the king was like, okay, there's 10 arrows in there. I'll just shoot three. We know one is too little. That obviously that's really too obvious. And two might seem also, so three is the perfect number. Let me shoot three. That's a good number. I'll just shoot three. And I think Elisha was pointing out to him, look, you're trying to do the least you can. I mean, for those of us who have been teachers before, you always have that student that just frustrates you to death because they are so talented. They've got so much going for them and they put the least in that they can. And you know it. And it's like, well, but it's good work. Yeah, but it's not your best. And I can tell that you didn't put in your best here.
Yeah.
And I think that Elisha was really trying to point out to this king, you can do so much more and you need to pick up your pace here.
Yeah. Mm. I think this is actually the answer for the last question here. if we are saved by grace alone, what really is wrong with genuinely accepting that free gift and saying, I am saved. Nothing else is required or expected of me.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying that. There is something wrong when you don't listen to Jesus' words of take up your cross and follow me. You are saved by grace. Absolutely. 100% done deal. You are saved by grace. Just accept it. And Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Paul, the guy who preaches grace constantly, he says that he presses on towards the prize. He moves forward, exerts effort in it. And it's not to earn salvation. It's because salvation has been gifted to you. When somebody gives you a gift, you can either take that gift and, there's the people that you gift with money to help them out of a difficult situation. And they take that money and they find themselves in the same place again because they just do that. And then there's the people that take that money, they get themselves into a more solid place, and then they gift it to somebody else, not because they're required to, but because they're so grateful mm-hmm. for what they've received that they say, oh, well, if somebody did that for me, I want to make sure I do that for somebody else. Yeah. And that is, to me, the question of in Christianity, are you grateful enough that you say, I want to pass on the gift? Or are you just like, well, thank you. That's good for me.
I think there's also something that's powerful about actually doing a physical activity that's related to an idea. I mean, you look at Moses and God tells him, strike the rock so that water will come out. Water could have just flown out, come out of there. But for some reason, it was important for him to strike the rock. And you look at Jesus, who, according to the Gospels, could have easily just spoken every miracle that he did. And he still mixed mud and put it on the blind man's eyes. He still touched the leper. He still, there were a lot of things that actions that he performed that weren't necessarily necessary, but there was something important in engaging in that physical connection to the activity.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you're just overwhelmed. I mean, overwhelmed, that sounds like a big word for what I'm about to tell you. But this morning on the way in, I had a massive headache and I had Emily with me. And she's like, "Daddy, you need coffee." And I said, "Okay." And she prayed for my headache to go away. It didn't work. But I'm not going to tell her that. So we stopped at
Foxtail,
right down the street. And I pulled up and we ordered. And she was excited. She got chocolate milk. And I got out my phone, was going to tap. And he's like, "Hey, King, I got you." And I was like, "Who's got me?" He's like, "I got you." And I was looking behind me. He's like, no, there's nobody behind you. He's just like, "But no, it's on me." And there was no one behind me. I guess I couldn't have paid it forward because I had to go. But I mean, I said, "Thank you," but it didn't felt like I should have done something different. But I was totally, totally just off in some other world where I was like, "Wow, this guy bought my coffee this morning."
That's nice.
And it was super nice, but then it left me with something. So now somewhere this weekend, someone's getting coffee behind me in some line somewhere. I'm going to have to pay it forward.
So wait, is your headache gone?
It is gone now.
Okay, yeah. Then I guess Emily's prayer was answered.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't, well.
It just took a little coffee and a little.
Yeah, well, but
you know, sometimes miracles happen in the most mundane ways.
And sometimes she does. And I mean, she has, the girl knows how to pray. She just naturally assumes that it's now.
Oh.
It's like, "Dear Jesus, may Daddy's headache go away. Amen. Okay, you're better now."
Yes.
And you're like, "Well, thank you. I do love your sense of faith and total belief in that." Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I would say that there is some immediate reaction because.
Yeah, that's why Jesus said, "Unless you become like a child."
Exactly. Yeah. So the other thing is, like gratitude, a couple of years ago, we did a prayer room for Advent Health, and it was on gratitude. And it was probably the one that of all the things we've did over probably 10 years of doing them, it's the one I liked the most. And one of the quotes I remember that we had different, just famous people, famous quotes. Well, I don't know, everyone's famous, but one of them was, well, there was actually two. The one by Melody Beattie, which said, "Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more." And also by Meister Eckhart, he said, "If the only prayer you ever said in your entire life is 'thank you,' it will be enough." And those are two of my favorite quotes that if you just stop and think about them for a little bit, even when things aren't the best, whether that's in relationships that you have or just in life in general or, you know, finances, if we really stop and think about where we are, most of us can come up with, "I really should be grateful for a bunch of things because I'm pretty blessed." And so when it's feeling like it's maybe a less than ideal, and sometimes the holidays makes us feel like it's less than ideal. There's a lot of different ways things can go sideways. But just good to remember that God has given us so much. And I think Elisha was just a really good example. So good way to get us into the holiday season. What are we doing this week?
We have guest speakers this week.
Oh, that's right.
It's our Voices of Whole Life series where we have our Whole Life church members who do a sermon. This is the final one. We have usually have four of them a year. This is our fourth one this year. And it's by a whisker that it's by church members, right?
Yeah, just barely.
So
by the skin of your teeth.
They're actually going to be voted into membership on Sabbath.
Right.
I
told them they had to sing for their supper.
Yeah. So Brad and Julie Castle, if you all don't know them, they are wonderful people. Brad was the most recently the pastor at the Celebration Church here in Florida. Hmm. And now he serves as the associate ministerial director for the district that Whole Life actually falls into. In the Florida Conference. And so he is my direct supervisor. And then Julie teaches at Forest Lake Education Center, teaches Bible up there, and his wife. And so one of the things Melanie and I have enjoyed is seeing husband and wife teams preaching. Mm-hmm. And so we are really excited that they were willing to take that on for us. And that'll be happening this Sabbath. You don't want to miss it. I know they rehearsed this morning, right?
Yep. I heard it twice.
All right.
It's good.
And I heard she makes a mean bowl of chili.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I can handle, I don't know if I'd be able to handle the heat that she can bring, because Brad mentioned that there were
jalapenos.
Yes.
Lots of jalapenos.
And jalapenos and me don't usually get along very well. So I'm not sure I could handle it. I'm probably too.
Well, too Julie, Julie is just really taking on the whole life member.
She won. What did she win? Barn
second
party.
Place.
Didn't? Second place.
Yeah, second place. Oh, and wow. She, and not only that, but she actually, I think she brought three like big pots of chili. Wow. So she really,
that's a veteran move.
Yeah, I know that. And
they weren't even members yet.
She set the standard for new members.
Yeah. Well, well done, Julie. Yeah. Well done, Brad. You you get to ride off of Julie's coattails on this one, I think.
Yeah, but, and they hung around and helped us with Christmas decorations today, too.
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
So become
because that's something that happened over Sunday and today is one of my least favorite things on earth, which is decorating for Christmas.
I just found all the Grinch wear, so I am ready for the next couple of weeks.
But
I'm not sure whose heart is smaller, yours or Ken's, when it comes
Can
to
we have
Christmas.
A contest?
Let's arm wrestle for it.
Let's,
no, my heart is three sizes too small.
Mine is four.
I think I could go five.
I am pretty sure that I can shrink it further. So we actually decorated the, when I say we, I use that loosely. The lobby was decorated. Thank you to Anderlene and Karen for their vision. It looks nice. There's a beautiful tree. There are wreaths. Eventually, there'll be stars. That was where I spent a lot of my time on Sunday, is taking these little stars that you have to fold out into 3D. Melanie and I worked on that with Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie, for coming out.
I got to use pliers and cut lights off a tree today. See, that was kind of fun.
Okay.
And also, if anybody is wondering, there will be more decor in the worship center next week. Something about, you know, when they tell you shipping happens in 3 days and then it takes 2 weeks. I don't know.
Melanie, you weren't supposed to say that. You're just supposed to say we like to ease into the holiday spirit. So
we add
as we go.
We're layering in.
If we did it all at one time, you wouldn't appreciate it as much as if we just
There wouldn't be a surprise every week.
And I do think there will be some more surprises coming in the lobby as well.
Oh, eventually.
Yeah.
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 So cool.
We got to get, speaking of which, those 3 week destination times, we should probably get on that. For the extra surprises for the lobby.
Everybody do what they need to do.
All right. Well, that's awesome. So again, one more time, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Put on the stretchy pants and the long suffering heart.
And make all your relatives listen to this podcast. So,
and I pray that
when they start talking about things you don't want to talk about, just turn the podcast up on your phone. Right.
On halftime.
And I hope your team wins.
Yes.
Unless they're the Cowboys, in which case,
Not of course. Yeah, no, sorry. I can't root for the Cowboys. I don't even know who they're playing, but I'm a fan of whoever it is they're playing against. So, there we go. Throw down. See, that's a small, tiny, grinchy heart.
I bet you we'll get a lot more comments off of that over anything else we said today. We have a lot of Cowboys fans in this church.
We do. Well,
they're even nice people, which has been hard for me to reconcile.
That's really the Cowboy fans.
That's really the problem.
They're right up there.
Bernie Anderson is one of my favorite people, and he's a Cowboys fan.
He's just such a nice person.
I like him. I like
you. Deserve a better team, Bernie.
They do. There's room at Lambeau for y'all. So, anyway, based on that, guys, thanks for listening so much. Happy Thanksgiving, and have a fantastic week.